John chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, I am the door, and it's Jesus speaking. When he says he's the door, he is the door to eternal life. He's the door to heaven. He's the door to the Father. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want to preach this morning on abundance versus excess. Abundance versus excess. And we're going to look and compare these two things. Jesus came to give life and came to give it abundantly. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for saving me. I thank you that I know today beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am saved, that I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that I am in Christ and therefore secure in eternal life. I do pray if there's anyone here that's not saved today, that they would consider Jesus, that they would repent of their sin, that they would turn from a path that's leading them to hell and turn toward Jesus Christ. But Father, for Christians today, I pray that we would be able to see the abundance of the life that Jesus gives and the excess, which is not a good thing, that Satan presents. And God, may we make right choices considering these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. An atheist has absolutely nothing to offer. They have no guide because they reject the Bible. They have no hope of eternal life because they believe life ends at the point of death and it just goes into absolute nothingness. Hence, they have no future. They have no hope. There's nothing out beyond life for them at all. And as an atheist, then, they want you to have nothing. They were emphatic about taking the Word of God and getting it out of school. They want to take away your prayer. They want to take away your freedom of expression and your freedom to evangelize and witness. They want to take away your conscience and not allow you to operate according to your conscience that God has given you according to the Word of God. So an atheist has nothing, and their desire is for us to have nothing as well. Jesus Christ is everything, and He wants the Christian to have everything, to have a life of abundance, a life that is pleasing and thrilling to God the Father. Jesus is everything, and Jesus wants to share all of that with you. Eternal life, His righteousness. He took your punishment for you so that you would not have to face an eternity in hell. He invites you to come to Him, and He says, if you will come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Jesus has everything to offer. When the world says there's no hope, Jesus says there's peace and there's hope, and we're looking for that blessed hope. What if it were today? And so we're excited about that. Look over to John chapter 6. I want to show you a situation that was a building and what this situation involved before Jesus really gets in the mix. John chapter 5, verses 5 through, or chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw the company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. What you have here is a situation that is a bleak situation. It is a situation where you have 5,000 men. You've got women and children added to that, so a possibility of 15, 20,000 people, and you have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. What's that going to do? But see, when you take that little and you add Jesus, then you can have abundance. And look at verse 11. It says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he saith to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." You have a situation where there's nothing. You have a situation where there is very little. You add Jesus, and all of a sudden, 20,000 people, possibly 20,000 people, are satisfied, and they walk away with 12 baskets full. Jesus can give abundance. Have you allowed your relationship with Christ to bring you to that point of abundance in your Christian life? I loved that this lady down here that introduced her visitors, you can tell she is thrilled about Jesus. She's thrilled about the Word of God. And she's excited about this church. I mean, she was talking, I'm sitting there thinking, man, I want to come. And I'm here. But it's exciting. And all that we would allow our relationship with Jesus Christ to create an abundance in our life, that we would be overflowing, and that relationship would then spill over and help other people as well. See, Jesus did not just meet the need. He met it abundantly. He met it abundantly. Don't you love it when you pray and you're asking God, maybe because of your little bit of faith, for this much? And God comes through and he does this much. And you look at it and say, why did I ask so little? If I had asked this much, maybe forgotten this much. But God is able and God works. Now, let me show you a different scenario. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. As we build, and what I'm trying to do is lay out, I don't have a pretty outline in this one at all, but I'm trying to lay out, you've got abundance on one side, you've got excess on the other, and I want to, by the end of the message, present and allow you to see that you have the opportunity of choice. The opportunity of making a decision, the opportunity of having a life that you look back on and say, wow, what a life, what God has done for and through and with me, versus looking back and saying, what a life of nothingness and waste. And so Luke chapter 15, I want to read verse 11 and 12, and it says, "And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." 2 sons, possibly equal portions, maybe slightly unequal portions, but very similar portions, there is no doubt. Now I want to jump to verse 22 through 25. "The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." So this man, he gives half of his substance away to one of his sons. Sometime later, and we do not know how long the prodigal son was prodigal. We do not know how long he spent out in the hog pen. We don't know how long it took him. But when he returned, this man still had cattle. He still had wealth. He still had a robe to give him. He still was able to make a party. This man still had enough to live to the end of his life with sufficient and full abundance. And what I'm trying to help you see is he gave that son that went away half. And he still had all of this left over. And the other son is going to be able to live off of that substance really for the rest of his life. That's quite a bit, isn't it? That's abundance. Now look what happened, though, with the son that went away. Verse 29 says this, and he answered and said his father, I'm sorry, I'm going to back up just a minute. Lo, these many, verse 29, so, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou gavest me, never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as this day thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. See, he still had abundance. He says to the son that stayed with him, all of this is yours. He still had abundance. But if we look at verse 13 and 14, we see the younger son. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in what? In want. See, when you stay on the right path and stay with God, there's abundance. When you go over to the world and live in excess, you begin to be in want. How did this young man, in just a short period of time, come to the point of absolute nothingness? He lived going after the excess rather than living in the abundance that was there. See, a little lunch plus Jesus equals leftovers. And enough to live well to the absolute end of life without Jesus leaves a person in want. And so we need to be able to see the differences in these situations. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We've seen that Jesus has come, and he's come in order to give abundance. We turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. The Bible says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So there are two choices. There is the will of God, and there is unwise. When you step out of the will of God, it's unwise. When you step away from the will of God and the Word of God, you're going to make foolish decisions. When you step away from the will of God, you're walking away from abundance, and you're walking over to excess. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This word excess, really, if you go into drinking, this word excess means into rioting, immorality, all of the things that are against God. Alcohol causes a person to step out into the excesses of the world, the excesses of wickedness, the excesses of really Satanism and satanic influence. It's an interesting thing that oftentimes you'll see something, a sign that says wine and spirits. And there's more to it than just it's alcohol. When you partake of alcohol, what happens is you're opening a gate to your brain where you're no longer in control. Who's in control when you're not? Well, it's not the Holy Spirit of God in the case of alcohol. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. God wants us to be allowing the Holy Spirit to have control in our lives. But when you give your life over to something else and it takes control, when you shut off the ability to control your own brain, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. When you turn that off by taking a substance into your body that does not allow you to be in control of your brain. And I'll tell you, I'm fearful of what, and maybe I shouldn't use that word because the Bible tells us not to be fearful. I'm going to say I'm concerned. I'm concerned about all the drugs that are being given to children in our day and age. They're gateway drugs. They have the same basis as an amphetamine. Methamphetamine is a drug that's shortened down to the word meth, but a lot of these drugs that they're putting children on in order to get them to focus, supposedly, or control themselves, they're based on amphetamine. It's incredible what's going on in our society. Instead of their mind being them in control of it, they're putting a drug in control of it. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's not a good place to be. A drunk person after a few drinks does not receive abundance, do they? A drunk person after a few drinks, he receives excess. He'll throw it up. He'll pass out. He'll die. He'll have a brain malfunction. We lived in Russia. My kids on a regular basis saw people passed out in their own vomit on the streets. You walk to the store, they're just laying there. And it's like, they don't want any part of that. It's heathen. It's wickedness. It's excess. And you look at that person and he thinks, the night before he's thinking, oh, this is good. This is abundant. You look at him the next day as he's laying there and literally the vomit all around him on the ground, his pants soiled. And I don't want to be graphic. I'm just telling you the truth. And we saw it on a regular basis. And it's not abundant. It's excess. When a person is filled with the Spirit, his life becomes more abundant. There never reaches a point of excess. You know, family is better. Sleep is better. Work is better. It never hurts to get more of God. You're not going to get too much of the Bible. And if you're living according to the book, and I knew a person, and he was a disgrace of a man. He didn't provide for his family. He said, well, I just read the Bible all day. That's not what we're talking about. Because we don't want you to just read it, live it. And part of living it is going out and providing for your family. And the man sent his wife to work, and he's sitting there supposedly reading his Bible all day, every day. It turned out he's in jail because of sin today. See, it's not just reading it. It's read it and apply it to your life and let God produce abundance in your life. This book will give you a better family. This book will give you it's just going to make everything better. It's going to make it abundant. It's going to be abundant. Go ahead and turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. This is a disturbing passage. But there comes a point of excess that even the flesh begins to reject the excess. People can sometimes go into sin so deeply that their flesh just begins to completely reject the sin. And this is it's a horrible passage of Scripture. It's a horrible place that the nation of Israel was in. Verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye, and be drunken and spew and fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup of thine hand to drink, then thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. Basically, the nation of Israel was living in a point of sin to the point where God says, you want it? Here, have more, have more, have more, and have the judgment that goes along with it. And they're like, no, I can't take anymore. No, you're going to take it now. And there comes a point in time where your flesh even begins to reject it. Back in the old days, and I'm not saying it's right, but there was a Donald Duck cartoon with Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And I didn't watch all that many of them, but I remember this one. One of them snuck a cigar. And yeah, somebody was saying, we know who watches cartoons, right? I was just a kid. He watched it as an adult, but no, I'm just kidding. But the dad found out about it, and he came and he stuck multiple cigars and lit them all, and the Huey, Dewey, and Louie are like, and they're turning blue and they're vomiting. They didn't show that, but it's just like, he's like, you want to try that? Here, have so much of it that your body rejects it. And honestly, in the old days, sometimes parents did that. I'm not saying it's right, but what they were doing was showing, you want this? It's going to go badly for you. And they were showing them, excess is never good. It never works. And there comes a point where even the flesh begins to reject the excess. A person goes off into drugs and they start partaking of something like that. Or a person goes off into any of the excess sins in life. And eventually, the flesh itself. You know, people that live a life of sin look older. You look at them and you get introduced. Hey, how old are you? I'm 45. And the person looks like they're 70 because they've been on drugs. You take the average age. You know, a rock musician for sure lives a life of excess. And their average age that they die is 45 or less. Drug addicts, sodomites, the same way. Why is their average age, a little over half, but less, almost half of what the other people live to be? See, Satan's a destroyer. And when he introduces sin to you, he shows you and says, oh, this is going to be abundant, but the truth is it's going to be excess, and it will destroy your life. Go to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Let's look what God can do. I'm going to read a couple and then I'm just going to run through some. But 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 44 through 46. 1 Kings 18, 44 through 46. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. He's like, Ahab, you're going to need a chariot in order to get down off this mountain faster than that cloud's coming. So get your chariot ready and get moving out of here. Now look at Elijah. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens were black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran, look at this, before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You got Ahab with a horse and a chariot, and Elijah, when the hand of God came upon him, he outran that chariot and got there first. See, slow horses. I'm going to say it's the hand of God. We'll go the spiritual route here. But you look at it. You look at it. And it is, he ran. Go ahead and turn over to the next chapter, chapter 19, verses 6 through 8. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. I think that cake probably had to be a Fasnacht. You know, I told Brother McCleary last night, I said, you know, I will never forget your name. It's not because of you, it's because of your wife. I forgot what that thing was called. They had to remind me last night, but I knew who made it. So here's Elijah. He ate this cake. Verse 6. and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drank and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came unto him the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink. Now look at this next phrase. And went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Isn't that incredible? God says, here, have a cake. And here, have another one. And it lasted him 40 days. You know, Moses went up on the mountain and lived in the presence and on the presence of God for 40 days without food. He came down off the mountain. He wasn't coming down like... He came down carrying a couple stone tablets with the law of God written on them. And when he come down, he sees what's going on. He had enough strength to take those stone tablets and throw them down and break them and go and grab the golden calf that they had made and were worshiping and grind that thing up and tell all those people, you're going to drink the water that I've dumped the dust of this thing into. How is that? If I went 40 days without food, I feel like I'd be pretty weak. And it doesn't say he stopped and ate in between there. He lived on the presence of God for 40 days. Jesus, how many times stayed up all night praying? Now, there's a couple of instances where he took a nap in the boat the next day. But he goes on that strength. Go ahead and turn to John 4. Look at this passage. His disciples come to him and they think that surely he should be hungry. John chapter 4, verse 31 through 34. Says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Now to the disciples, who for the most part thought in a physical manner, it took them a while to get over to the spiritual side, didn't it? The disciples are an encouragement to me. Because so many times they thought physically and eventually they became spiritual people. And it gives me hope that, you know, so many times we think about things physically and we need to get over to become spiritual people. And so they think, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, you ever get so excited about God and the things of God and serving God, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I forgot to eat? So we spend, look, I'm guilty of liking food too much. I am. But how excited are we about doing the will of God? She said, I don't need any of that food. God has provided for me. It's incredible what God does. Paul got stoned, got up to go preach again. In your life, there will always be those who offer you excess. And there will be those who point you to abundance. And I want you to take into consideration, you have a choice. If you're a saved, born-again Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, someone who's saved, has trusted Christ as Savior, you have a choice. God equips you and gives you everything you need to walk in a life of abundance. But you're going to need to listen to those who point you toward abundance. Because there will always be those who are pointing you toward the excess. Who influences you? I want you to think about something. When you arrive in a town, here's two different kinds of people. You arrive in a town, and in that town, what do you notice? Drive in, it's like, oh, there's a church. Oh, look at the sign on that church. On the carnal side, oh, there's the restaurant. There's the hotel. You notice what you're looking for. Okay, I've been around since Thursday. We've driven in town and staying up in York. We've driven down here. I have not yet noticed a bar. Now, I know that they're out there, but I have not noticed one. I come into a town, I would not have a clue where to go to get drugs or alcohol. I haven't noticed, I have not, my attention has not been drawn to any club of any sorts. Now, another person arrives to the same town. Do they notice the church? Do they notice the church signs that are out there? Those interest me. Sometimes I get ideas for our church sign off of church signs. It's about what you're looking for when you get to that town. You take a person who's addicted to drugs, how in the world do they know where to go to get them? But they do. They recognize the person who's selling it. Hopefully, you and I don't recognize, oh, that's a drug dealer. You know, now we ought to be aware of our presence. We ought to be aware of things around us. But when you come in, it's what are you looking for? When you open up the computer and go to the internet, there is excess on the internet, and there is abundance. There, it can be good or it can be bad. You can go after. The key is, what are you inclined to go after? Are you going to go, you know, you literally could go on YouTube and probably for the rest of your life, and I'm not recommending this, okay? I'm not recommending messages on YouTube for the most part. If you know the preacher, that's fine. That's one thing. If your preacher knows the preacher, that's fine. That's one thing. But you could literally probably go on YouTube and listen to sermons for the rest of your life and not run out. I mean, there is abundance on there. You could also go to YouTube and for the rest of your life, every waking moment, watch absolute filth. What are you after? See, are you inclined toward excess or are you inclined toward abundance? Do you want to follow Jesus Christ and He'll give you an abundant life? Or do you go toward excess? Sometimes people look and they say, okay, what happened? I don't understand what happened with my child. They were doing absolutely fine, but they got a job. And at that job, they met this person. Now, here's the thing. Why did they go and incline after that person that would point them toward the excess? There was a problem in the heart. Because if that young person, if their heart is inclined toward Jesus Christ and they're looking for an abundant life, all of those people can come up and present the excess. And you know what it does to a person who's walking with Jesus? So that's repulsive. I don't want that. It comes down to that person or that job did not destroy your child. Their heart condition going into that job destroyed them. Now, part of our wisdom as parents, we need to know, is our child spiritually ready to be able to go into that position? And if they're not, don't put them there. We need to see, what is the inclination? Do you want an abundant life or do you want an excess life? If one of your children tends toward excess, by all means, don't put them in an area where they could get it. Until God changes their heart toward abundance. Because once you get the abundance, you don't want the excess. When you have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, the things that used to call out to you from the world, that just aren't that appealing anymore. Turn to Mark chapter 10. And we'll close with this passage. Mark chapter 10. Verse 28 through 31. And the point I want to make with this passage is this. You have to give up the pursuit of excess in order to get the abundance. Look at the passage. Jesus began to say unto them, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold." Now look at this. Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. There's a little phrase here, because lest we think that it's a social gospel and that Joel Osteen is right, because he's not. With persecutions. You know what? There's plenty of persecutions to come in a Christian's life. But look at it. It says, and in the world to come, eternal life. In the world to come, eternal life. You know, we can look at our life. It's much the same as others. We work. We have bills. We have health troubles. But then you add Jesus. You add Jesus. And Jesus can make it all right. He can take, you know, people can be sick and have an abundant life. Because our abundant life is not based upon the physical. It's based upon the spiritual. See, if you will give up the pursuit of excess and turn over to pursue abundance, God says, I'll give you all the blessings, the physical blessings. But he says, I'm also going to give you in the world to come eternal life. The difference is this. If you live for this world, you end up with nothing. If you live for Jesus, he gives you good things in this life, but then he allows you to keep them forever. To me, there's no choice. It really becomes quite obvious which side we want to go, which direction we want to go, doesn't it? So why do people still go after the excess? Unfortunately, we've got this dumb thing called the flesh. And that flesh, the flesh will never be spiritual. The flesh will always pull you toward the excess. And so we have to crucify the flesh. For any visitors, that means we just put the flesh down. We're not going out to be crucified. We're not going out and damaging our flesh. But we're saying, my flesh is not going to control me. This Holy Spirit of God is going to control me. May God help us as we look at both sides. May God help every one of us. May God help our kids to choose the life of abundance. May God help us to clearly see the difference. And when those that present the excess appear, may God help us to turn our back on that and run toward Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.